pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome to another day. Tuesday, thanks so much for being the part of the program. Even you, Jim Harbaugh, we'll talk about you in a minute. Welcome to the show. Great to have all of you here. And we have a lot to deal with today, including some very, very special guests. So what's up with Harbaugh? Harbaugh and the NCAA working toward a four-game suspension over recruiting investigation. Just when you think Jim Harbaugh should be luxuriating after two playoff wins and two wins over Ohio State and Big Ten championships, someone is always following that man around with a black cat. Kirby trying to win three in a row. That isn't a new story. And if he does that, is he number two all time among college football? Are we talking all time, all time? We didn't waste any time getting right to that, did we? Wow. That was fast. So building the perfect SEC staff, you begin with Saban. You throw in a little Heupel. Imagine Saban as Heupel's OC. Brad White is the DC. Kirby, second team? Who in their right mind could come up with something like that? Lane Kiffin is the OC. I like that. Lane Kiffin would approve of Josh Heupel's secret sauce for Tennessee football, according to Blake Topmeyer. This is according to Lane Kiffin himself. Do you follow Kiffin on Twitter? This is what he tweeted out today, and he's quoting Charlie Baker from an event 6 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., that we talked a lot about. If you remember, I was the kickoff speaker, and Baker came next, and he said, I think there's too many people in college sports who thought no rules would work really well for them, and everybody discovered it's no rules, no transparency, no accountability, no framework. It doesn't work well for anybody. At Feinbaum, does that sound like a disaster? So crazy to point out, my bad. Hashtag angry little man. Oh. Did I speak? Hold on a second. Was I behind the podium last week at SEC Media Days? Am I the one who used the word disaster? I just simply reacted to it. We'll talk more about the angry little man hashtag later in the show. Before we talk about the coaching rankings, let's come up with the person who came up with that list. Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. Dave, thank you. Appreciate you hopping on board. Good afternoon, and tell us about the process that went into putting this list together.
It's a little scary thinking that we're going to nerd out on the Paul Feinbaum show with data, but the process of coming up with these numbers actually started back 14 years ago, 2009. That's how long we've been working on the numbers, because we were looking at it from the standpoint of, well, recruiting is about, what, 65% of wins and losses. The other 30-35% got to be coaching, right? Maybe a little home field advantage, a little bit of luck. So we started, you know, you got your 247s with all your recruiting data and evaluations on the players. So we just started going down the path of looking at coaches and looking at their careers and by position. So we now have over 15,000 different coaches in our database. And what you were looking at in our SEC first and second team staffs, you know, those are just a handful of the top guys that we have in our system. But it's all data-based. There's no watching of X's and O's. Everybody is compared equally, and this is what it spit out this year. It's going to be interesting next year because you got a lot of good coaches coming over from Texas and a couple of them from Oklahoma.
So are there, Dave, any particular critical factors that you use in doing this?
Yes, there are. And it depends on the position, okay? One critical factor for fans looking at this, because there's a lot of really good coaches that have one good year, two good years, maybe even three good years. When we put this article together with 247 and CBS Sports, we put our grading limit on there, which is 4 years, because we want to see a guy go through multiple players and possibly multiple staff colleagues, you know. And so one of the things in our calculations is, how long have you been coaching? Guys who haven't been doing it long enough get graded down a little bit. We also take a look at talent that you have versus talent that you face. So if Kevin Steele has the same exact numbers at Alabama as the defensive coordinator at South Alabama, who has a lot less talent, and the talent they're facing is equal or a lot tougher than what they have, then the better grade is going to go to the DC at South Alabama, if you follow me there. You know, so we're trying to use what you have versus what you face as a way of level the playing field. And the last big thing that we put in there, and I know fans will like this one, regression and progression. Do you make your offense or defense or your players, does it get better over time or does it get worse? So, you know, when you're taking a look at these first and second team guys, man, there is not a lot of regression ever, and when it is, it is very little. So those are really the big three things that we're looking at from a 10,000-foot level with all these coaches.
You have Kiffin and Pete Golding. I bring that up, Dave, because Golden always seemed to meet the standard from a statistical standpoint at Alabama. Having said that, the fans could not wait to get rid of him. Can you square that for us?
I don't know if I can square the emotion of a fan, especially an SEC fan. They have to ask it an awful lot.
But Dave,
they didn't like what they saw.
they did not like what they saw.
Well, okay, and that's understandable, and that's that we might get into this a little bit more about Alabama's whole coaching staff. But when you look at Pete Golding, is numbers-wise, he did really good. But you got to remember, he had top two talent in the entire country. So what he did was kind of expected. Now, in terms of regression, if you look over each of the last 3 years, the defensive scoring efficiency took a little step back each year. Not a big one, but enough where you could see it, and also the fans were used to a better performance. And if you look at coaching as a whole, the whole staff underneath Saban, I think that's one of the biggest things that has changed over the last 5 years that we can see in the numbers is the other 10 guys that are wearing a headset. So Golding, look, I mean, what's the gold standard he's trying to live up to? Pruitt and Kirby Smart. I mean, if Kirby was still calling plays, you're talking about the number one graded defensive coordinator of the last 15 years in our system. I mean, he is amazing. Absolutely amazing. So when you get used to something like that, when you get used to a 5-star offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, when you get used to a 4.5-star offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin at Alabama, and suddenly you have a 3-star offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, and you have Pete Golding, who is very good, but not 5-star elite like they've had, it feels like you have less. Those guys are really hard to find, and I can understand why fans were disappointed in what they were seeing, but compared to what they had before, it was still very good. It's just the level of expectation that you have based on what you saw in the past with Alabama defense.
It's always a difficult question when you have so much turnover, and Kirby Smart in the last 2 years has lost his defensive coordinator in Dan Lanning, and now he's lost his offensive coordinator. Can you look at a staff knowing who is on that staff? And of course, we all know how that has gone so far, and try to give us an evaluation of staff versus staff, especially when you start with Kirby Smart at the head of the class.
Yeah, well, you look at like Kirby's staff right now. One of the things that we really don't know, he lost Dan Lanning, but if you look at that defense also lost just about everybody to the NFL, and it didn't take really much of a step back. So inside the numbers, I wonder how much control Kirby has really over the defense. How much was it Dan versus Kirby's influence? Because as a defensive coordinator and as a head coach, Kirby has his fingers in 9 of the top 25 scoring efficiency defenses of the last 20 years. So when I look at, you know, because right now I think Muschamp is the designated defensive coordinator or co-defensive coordinator with Schumann. We really don't know who's calling plays, but do we really care? Because Lanning left and nothing changed. So, I mean, you could put Paul Feinbaum in there. As long as Kirby Smart's the DC, I think it's going to be okay, right? You go to the offensive side of it, you lost a four-star offensive coordinator in Monken. I know a lot of people are down on Mike Bobo, and that's recency bias. Look, he was at South Carolina. That was a troubled team. He got to the Auburn. There was problems there. But prior to that, the rest of his career, four-plus star offensive coordinator. So I don't think from a Georgia standpoint, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of step back offensively. Monken and Bobo, for their entire careers, when you look at the body of work, the expectation is still going to be a very solid high level. Not elite, but really, really good. I don't think you're going to see much of a step back offensively. And as long as Kirby's there defensively inside the numbers, I ain't going to be worried about the Georgia defense either.
Dave Bartu, many, many thanks. Great stuff. We could really take this in any different direction. We will, nerdy or not, Dave, that was fantastic. Thanks for being here. We'll come back with much more on the program, including your phone calls, number of guests, including the voice of the Crimson Tide during the next hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And how about this? Eli Gold is back in the booth. This is a story that many of us have been worried and wondering about, but he will join us in under an hour to let us know the battles that he has had and overcome. And an inspirational story from the voice of the Crimson Tide, John U. Bacon on the Harbaugh News. He also worked once at Northwestern, and Ari Wasserman, one of the smartest people in the industry. And your phone call is at 855-242-7285. I don't know why I'm laughing. Trey is up next. Good afternoon.
How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, Trey.
I was wanting to say Billy Lucci. I like Billy Lucci. I think the Aggies might do good this year. Don't tell Matt that I said that.
Okay, I will not.
Just joking.
That's a secret.
Yep. I was wanting to say, I think Arkansas goes 9-3. And then, the daggum Florida Gators, they're going to, I think they might be a little bit better than people are letting on.
Well, thank you very, very much. John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, is this the little man?
Angry little man.
Angry.
Come on.
Of all people to say that, I mean, he looked like he pulled an all-night bender and slept in his clothes, and then he talks about what's wrong with football, right?
I mean, I love Lane for so many different reasons, but mainly the fact that he allows things to be forgotten about quickly, doesn't he?
Like USC, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to a quick comment on Pat Fitzgerald and also on Jim Harbaugh up there in Michigan. The Pat Fitzgerald thing, I see he's hired Dan Webb, who's a monster of an attorney. I have
Is that the former U.S. attorney?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. This guy put some governors in prison. He's a big-time prosecutor. He was a big-time prosecutor.
Yeah, he's well-connected. I have one of my brother attorneys up in Chicago and said, Pat Fitzgerald will not only collect on his $40 million contract, but they'll also end up paying attorney fees. I mean, they had a report that said the worst thing they could say about Fitzgerald was he had the opportunity to know. Then they had an agreement, two-week suspension, which is enforceable. And then out of the blue, he decides to fire him for cause. So that's going to go down.
Yeah, no, the president, I don't know, I'm assuming this guy does not have a legal background. For him to admit in an interview that he didn't read the report.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy ought to be.
Arbitrarily changed his mind.
Yeah.
And that whole new stadium, that $900 million stadium, half of that's being funded by Pat Ryan of Aon. So we'll see if they get their new stadium as well. I think they're going to suffer for years for that decision. On the Harbaugh thing, you and I talked about it, I don't know, 6 months ago. He couldn't recall buying a lunch for a recruit who was in the same restaurant, and they said he lied. And he said, no, he didn't. He's going to dig in his heels. You said, you know, the smart decision was to move on, but I guess Harbaugh has his principles.
Well, by the way, he hired Tom Mars, who's
I know, I was going to tell you
infamous.
That, yeah. He has done a lot of work with Tom Mars over the years, going back to when he picked up that quarterback out of Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
But the other issues with Michigan are analysts on the field coaching and assistant coaches watching videos. So it all comes down to this one issue is, does he want to admit that he lied, or does he want to, you know, dig his heels in? I think he's going to. But what's the damage, Paul? He's going to miss the first four games.
There's that's the part of this that nobody has figured out yet, and they will. But the first four games are against East Rapids High, Left Rapids High, North Rapids, and Grand Rapids.
And Rutgers.
Yeah.
And Rutgers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I let me apologize. I was dismissive of a Big Ten team. Maybe we need to call Danny Sheridan. But the odds on East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers, I'm guessing the average point spread would be 25 to 30 points. Each game.
I'm going to give the credit to Tom Mars for negotiating that deal.
Yeah, I mean that. It looks good. Four-game suspension, but, I mean, Harbaugh, that's a holiday for him.
And he still keeps his principle. He doesn't admit to lying. He dug his heels in and gets a vacation.
Well, hey, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's continue. And Randy is up next. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Randy, we're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to give the input on Kevin Steele. I believe he would turn Alabama's defense back to where they were before. I really do expect Georgia to be playing Alabama and Atlanta this year. Did you think the same thing?
Randy, I think exactly the same thing.
I do too. I mean, did you think it would be Georgia and Ohio State again in the
I do I'm really high on Ohio State and I realize they've got some deficiencies but not very many. Hey Randy, thank you very much. Jeffrey is calling next in Georgia. Hey Jeffrey.
Yeah, Mr. Feinbein, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you for asking.
Great. So I was calling and thank you for taking my call. Why do you think the president of University of Alabama and Auburn University president, the head coaches, have not spoke out regarding what the governor and the state legislature are doing to the blacks' districts and preventing them from getting their representation.
Yeah, for those who aren't sure what we're talking about here, the Supreme Court ruled recently, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, that the state legislature in Alabama needs to redistrict the congressional districts because of discrimination and unfair and unfair practices against against minorities. And the state, if I remember, if I didn't I have if I remember reading the story correctly, help me, the state legislature refused to do it.
That's correct. And the governor has refused to instruct the legislatures to do it.
Well, Jeffrey, my understanding of civics is that the federal government ultimately is going to win this battle.
That's correct. But unfortunately,
this sounds very much like 1963 and George Wallace and the Schoolhouse Door, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And nothing has changed except George Wallace, a white man, prevented that from happening. And now you have a white female doing the same thing. And if you look at the SEC, it's comprised of all Jim Crow states that make up the SEC. And
Jeffrey, let's talk about this for a second. On a day that a national monument was announced at the White House for Emmett Till, I think it's accurate to say what you're saying, but is it really true to say that in 2023 that these states that you mentioned would really be considered Jim Crow states? I mean, that's part of the past, and Kay Ivey and the state legislature in Alabama are certainly forcing the country to take another look at the state that has really overcome almost all of this. But to say that about some of these other states, would that be fair?
But it's the truth. If you look at Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Missouri, they're all Jim Crow. And that's what make up the SEC. So until we get the mentality of what's going on in the SEC, then we're going to get some changes. And the African-American athletes, they got to take part in this because there's a lot that they can say and do with their voices and their actions, just like the legislatures in Alabama are doing. I appreciate talking with
Jeffrey,
you.
Jeffrey, thank you. By the way, I agree with you on part of that. I mean, if young people speak out on issues like this, but I wonder, though, if any of those athletes that you mentioned are really paying attention to the story that you referenced.
Yes, I believe they are, because a lot of them understand the struggle.
Okay.
Because their parents went through the struggle, and their parents taught them about the struggle. And right now, some of them come from districts that affect them.
Okay.
They won't have representation in Washington.
But I'm not defending anything here. To me, if the Supreme Court gives you an edict, whether you like it or not, it's incumbent upon the state to act and react. But it's also a prickly situation for the presidents of those two schools who depend entirely, as you know, on that very same state legislature for funding. Doesn't make it right. I'm just stating a fact.
Right.
Anyway, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. Never thought I'd get that question about the Supreme Court on this program, but we did. We will be right back. More to come, including Eli Gold in 30 minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. Teresa is up next in Birmingham. Good afternoon, Teresa.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay. First off, Roll Tide. Last time I got to talk to you was about Nick Saban. But what I've got a statement, and then I want to ask you your opinion.
Okay.
The Carly Russell deal. I know you. Everybody's
yeah, she's for those who don't know, she's a young lady in Hoover, Alabama that has been at the center of a very controversial situation that involved her being missing for several days after she informed police she was looking for, was it a missing child?
Well, she said she saw a child on the interstate.
Right.
She stopped to help it or whatever and was abducted. But since then has told that it was all just, you know, she made it up,
right,
made all this
right,
up.
Right.
My question is, and my statement is, I don't understand why she hasn't been brought in to the police, why they haven't, you know, made her come in, since she already has told that, you know, it was just that she just made it up. I know she's got a lawyer, you know, speaking for her.
Yeah, she
but
does.
But even if you've got a lawyer, I mean, if I'd have done something, you know, wrong, I mean, this costs a lot of money and a lot of heartache for a lot of people. I mean, I'm glad the young lady is there.
Yeah, well, Teresa, I agree. This is a very big story nationally. And, you know, I think you have to look at a situation like this. And a lot of people don't want to hear what I'm about to say. But to me, Nick Derzis, who's the police chief, I think has acted with great poise in this by saying what he has said and by not doing anything more, because there's a lot of I think he's being sensitive to something that we are not privy to, that he probably is, and it's not as it's fairly complicated in terms of where the situation is, and I don't know all the I don't know any of the by the way I know I don't know any of the facts. I'm just telling you what I observe, and I think he made a decision with the people that he works with. He's been the police chief of Hoover for 30 years and highly respected,
and I
believe he made a decision for the well-being of the community, considering the amount of national attention it's getting, that the best thing to do is to move on from this. And it may not be what others would have done, but I think he's making a prudent choice.
Yeah. I just don't understand. I mean, I agree with you there. He's a great police chief. He's a great person. He's did a fine job. I mean,
Teresa, if you look at the other side of this, if they press charges, and I realize, I mean, the wheels of justice are not even on any account, but I think there's just a lot of mitigating factors here. And I think the other side of this would be very, I think he just decided, let this story eventually end, as opposed to creating a firestorm, which I think he would have done by bringing her in and filing charges. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, if that had been me, well, of course. Nobody ever said justice was fair and equal, but in this case, I think the best thing for everyone would be to simply move on. Thank you very much for the call. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul. I want to tell you something, then I want to ask you two personal questions, if that's okay with you.
Anything you want.
Okay. Well, you know, Paul, I've struggled with my health over the last few years, and I went to the doctor last week, and I've been cleared to coach and officiating again.
Great.
And I'm going to be coaching a 9-year-old football team. But, Paul, I want to ask you, these are the two questions I want to ask you. When you first started this show, what was your vision and what was your input? That's my first question. And then the second question is, did you ever realize that you would have such an effect on people like me and Cheerleader and Larry and some of the others that call in that have had health problems or personal problems? And probably this is not a put down to you, but it's not just you. It's all the callers that call in that, like when I was in the hospital, that really helped people like me. And I'm just wondering, was that kind of your vision, or did you ever?
If you go back to the beginning of the show, we took a show that we had a lot of control over and went to work for the biggest sports entity in the world. And the first thing they told us was just do the show the same way. And the second thing they told us was, we don't like the way you're doing it.
Well, your input, Paul, I'm going to tell you, your show and your influence. I mean, I can't tell you how great I felt being able to be told that I am cleared to go back to doing what I love for 40 years. But your show had when I was in the hospital, and not just you, your callers, and you just mean so much to so many people.
What you said to me is the most important thing I do here, and I'm speaking to you and to anyone else. I didn't see this coming. We were just simply trying to expand what we did, but what happened along the way as the show got bigger, what I wanted to do initially was to finally started to happen. Yeah, we do a lot of things because of our connections to the SEC and ESPN, and that makes the show very popular, and it's distributed in a lot of places in this country. But the most important thing to me here is the fans, people like you. And there were some executives early on who didn't want to hear from you. I'm being very bold about that. And I'm happy to say none of them are still around, okay?
That's
but,
great to hear.
But ultimately, I think the people that really matter, the people in Birmingham at the conference office, the people that make the final decisions, started to see it and understand it. And that's what this is about. And I'm not trying to, I mean, this is we're not singing Kumbaya here. We're telling the truth. And that's what means the most to the people behind the scenes here, and it's not me. I sit here every day, but it's people like you, and it's the family of callers and fans who do care. And you know that because you experienced it firsthand.
Well, Paul, I want to tell you, I can't thank you so much, and I know a lot of others feel that way, but I want to thank you and the callers, because I'm 60 years old, Paul, and I'm going to be able to get back out and start doing what I was doing after having almost twice life-threatening health problems, and I can't thank you and your callers enough, and keep doing what you're doing, my friend. You're doing a great job.
Trey, we're so glad to hear it. Thank you very, very much. We'll take a short break, and we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back. Let's take some more phone calls here. And Pat is in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I want to talk about Greg Sankey in a minute, but you and I have talked before about the callers being the show and your artistic and professional way of handling those calls, because you may or may not know what someone's going to say. However, we are a family. And I got to give you an A-plus on your remembering your eighth-grade civics class, because that's a fait accompli in the state of Alabama. The legislature will have to come up with a second minority district. As gerrymandered as it may be, they will have to pass
absolutely, yeah.
with the Justice Department.
It's a lot of grandstanding going on.
I know. Listen, I paid a lot of attention to Greg Sankey, and I heard his podium address. And I thought it was really, really good. And I also heard a second interview he did with Chris Childers and Rick Neuheisel, where they pressed him on his job description and his responsibilities to the SEC and whether or not he should be the czar of all of college football. I think right now is, you know, he said his job description is for the SEC, but at times he thinks, and can that go hand in glove? What's best for the SEC? How can that marry up with what's best for college football? And he made a point that really struck with me. Let's go with eight games until we find out what the 12-team playoff looks like. And are we more in a better state of having eight games, or could we go to nine games and be in the same position of having eight games and then look for more money? Do you have a thought?
Well,
on that?
You know, I think I agree with what you said about Commissioner Sankey. I think he's much better off where he is than being the commissioner of all colleges. But the eight nine game debate, I think, is going to correct itself. They're not really going to be. I think they're going to have to make that decision before the playoff starts, and I think they'll go to nine. They need to go to nine. I think Commissioner Sankey believes that. It's just simply a matter of economics, and you understand that from your background. Once the media landscape calms down, I think that everything will happen in order to get that for the next season or very soon thereafter. Doug is in Tulsa. You're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I called today to talk about voice inflection. That's right, voice inflection. There's two things that I've noticed so far listening to your show. First of all, I've noticed that when – a good portion of Alabama fans call in. They say Alabama like this. They say Alabama. We root for Alabama, and like this Alabama, like the Bama part's real fast, and it's kind of a upward pitch to it. Alabama, and I'm like, that's interesting, because so many people are saying it like that, and I'm a little OCD, so I started practicing saying it like that. And one thing I notice is that as they say that, there's pride in their team, and there's pride in their state, and there's pride in their culture when they say Alabama, because they just don't say, hey, Alabama. No, they're like, Alabama. And so I grew up here in Oklahoma, and I'm an OU fan, but I think if I grew up in Alabama, man, I'd probably root for the Tide, because –
Now, my question to you, Doug, is it Alabama or Alabama?
I say Alabama, but I'm telling you, a lot of your people say Alabama. like that. Now, one more voice inflection that I want to talk about, Paul, if I can squeeze this in. Yesterday, a lady called in, and her voice inflection was of anger and distaste. She and disgust. And I'm like, wow, she's, you could tell by her voice, she was very upset. And what she was upset about was the mere thought of OU and Texas coming into the SEC.
I mean,
she was disgusted about it. And she was like, we're not even the gum that they step on that's on the bottom of their shoe. I mean, and they would be, she said, Alabama, Georgia, and Tennessee. Now, what's funny is Alabama, Georgia, okay, I'll give you that. They're awesome. But come on, Tennessee.
Doug, after run, we're up against the break. We come back from Alabama. The voice of the Crimson Tide, Eli Gold, is up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.